tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhan dhamman sanghan namasami. Tonight is Rinpoche's death anniversary day, 16th of January. He passed away in 1992. So it's 14 years ago, and before I came into the temple for the puja, just the sky was clear, and 2 days ago was full moon day, so the quite bright moon was just about coming out of the cloud, which gave me a auspicious feeling. And last few days we are having Rinpoche's picture at our shrines, and it's been giving me a certain feeling. This place is yes, of connected to Rinpoche and his main monastery Wat Pa Pon. But particularly when I come to this time of the year, when I see the pictures, that sense of connection becomes clearer and stronger. The connection to Thailand, where I was ordained and lived for 15 years, and our how to put the name, original teacher or the really the source of our lineage. In Thailand, when monks give a talk like this at the beginning after Namo Tassa and Buddhan Dhamman Sanghan Namasami, sometimes they add in Thai something like a homage to Lord Buddha, and then they would say Po me kuba chan. Po is the father, me is the mother, the Kuba Ajahn is anyway, the teacher. It doesn't mean father and a mother and then a teacher, but actually the teacher or teachers as the mother and father. So that's that kind of warmth, affectionate feeling. Of course, respect towards the teachers. Homage to them or dedicated to them. So that kind of, although in when we read the teachings, when we hear the teachings, we go into the actual context of the teaching itself. But as a background, there's such a affectionate feeling or something there, which is not, sometimes we don't notice, and I didn't notice, but it is important. And like this time, yes, that the warmth, which has been supporting me or us up to now, that the sense of time from the past till now, or the sense of the connection from maybe Thailand and to here in England, that kind of really widened sense of connection, deepened sense of recognition of the deepened sense of appreciation, gratitude, and connection. As a talker today, this is not necessarily easy for me. Two reasons. The one is, yes, the Rinpoche is anyway such a big teacher, so what can I say? I could be same to almost everybody. And then, so they would then go on to personal experience with Rinpoche himself. So the reason, second reason is this one. When I came to Thailand and became ordained, he was already heavily sick. He couldn't speak, he couldn't walk. What we would call the vegetable state. So I didn't have a live, the normal way of contact with him as a personal human connection. I think Ajahn Chanda here, Ajahn Chanda Siri, and Ajahn Wimaro, maybe some others, have had a real lively contact when Rinpoche came here in the late 70s, I think. Anyway, so this is, first of all, I have to say, this is the place where I'm going, I'm talking tonight. Also I said, yes, the sense of connection has become stronger and clearer this period. Warmth is there, but also it makes me maybe a bit of questioning myself. What am I doing? Yes, this is, we have a precious connection with Rinpoche. Are we doing all right? Is this really worthy to be called Ajahn Chah's praise? Or am I really okay to be called connected to Rinpoche? That kind of sense, just looking at myself, maybe there's some sense of humbleness. So the warmth on hand, and then on the other hand, kind of reminder. Once this time for me or for us to come back to the really right place, which we need to do always, but particularly this time, yes. Where are we now? Where am I now? That sense, that is me. When we talk about Rinpoche, it was 6 years ago when we had the World Abbot meeting at this place at Amaravati. Many senior Ajahn's visit to this place, and then Ajahn Ratanavano interviewed all the Ajahn's who have had the contact with Rinpoche, and then asked their impression about Rinpoche. It's very interesting. Some said very strong, stable, clear presence, maybe physical presence, that this teacher was describing. Another teacher was saying how peaceful it was, even not necessarily in front of him or sharing the room with him, but even downstairs, upstairs, different, somewhat distance, but still he would feel how peaceful or how at ease he was when Rinpoche was around. Some teacher would relate to his experience of deep samadhi and how Rinpoche could understand that. Or some talk about, looks like kind of psychic experience or somewhat extraordinary experience which happened around Rinpoche. Or some said, what is Rinpoche? Rinpoche is actually the presence of mindfulness itself. Something like this. Or when Rinpoche talked how wise and then humorous he would say. Or some teacher talked about the teacher and disciple, this relation, how human relation had been happening. We can use the word the metta and compassion and wisdom, but on the level of human contact of teacher and disciple relationship, how it was like. So, one more. Another teacher said, when he met Rinpoche, he suddenly recognized Rinpoche. Yes, this is a really normal human being. Here, it's not like a normal means the looking down upon as a usual, but really normal. Another way to say we are, to some extent, it's not normal. We are lost, but this person is a normal person. Yeah, so various teachers describes Rinpoche in a different way. And when I listen to this, and you can actually figure out who said this. I didn't mention the name here, but actually the way how each teacher described Rinpoche was to me exactly how each person relate to his practice or his way of practice or his life. For instance, the samadhi or physical presence, peace, and so on. This is what is really important to that particular person. And then that person was finding in this quality in Rinpoche. Or in my word, when somebody wants to describe Rinpoche, how can you do? How can he do? Simply, you have to recognize what is really important in you, what is the real in your being. That one comes out. Yes, Rinpoche was this. That's how I felt when I heard all these comments from the Achans. And so when I came to Wat Pa Phon, Wat Panana Chat, Rinpoche was already sick in that state already 5 years, I think. After he visited England, actually his physical condition started deteriorated, and then soon, maybe some water fluid in his skull or around the brain, it was increasing. So he had an operation to suck this water out. His condition improved for a while, but then it went down, just like running down the slope, and then he stopped talking. He couldn't walk anymore, and so when I came to a pub on Awatana Chat, Rinpoche was always on a bed, attended by the monks. So to me, really almost symbolically, Rinpoche was quiet. Of course he was quiet, but it is also symbolically, now I can recognize in me what is or who is Rinpoche is. Unfortunately, I couldn't see him lively. Maybe I have seen him in a BBC video, yes? Or I could listen to his talk in Thai. So in that way, I can relate. But actually, his physical being active, I haven't seen. So in me, Rinpoche is really quiet there. And it's, in a way, very important to me. And so Rinpoche, then he was on the bed 24 hours. Of course, sometimes he was sat up. He was brought to sit on a wheelchair and then being pushed just around his kuti so that disciples could see him. At the same time, at Wat Pa Phon, lots of projects were on happening. Like, we knew he would die sooner or later. It was very obvious. So, and then funeral was going to be a big one, and it was. The 10 days, almost, for 10 days, almost 1 million people came to Wat Pa Phon, and then several thousand monks came. So you can imagine how big it was. So we knew, so that monks are preparing that cremation place, and then a chedi, the miniature of the chedi, as you can see, at Chithurst, but the other one is much bigger. And then we cremated him there, and still it kept as a place for worship, the place to connect with him, because also there is his relics is kept there now. So monks are actually building a mound first, and they building a chedi on the top, building a sala, dhamma hall, new big one, dining hall, kitchen, making a road around the monastery. Monks are really working hard from morning to midnight, mixing up cement, concrete, and amazing scene. Also, like Ajahn Jayasaro was preparing that Uparamuni authorized Rinpoche's biography. It's a masterpiece, a huge book. And so he was interviewing anybody, both monk, ordained and laity, who had had any contact with Rinpoche. And then Ajahn Jayasaro was gathering all the information, documents, and then tried to make the best masterpiece, because he has a really strong devotional respect to Rinpoche. And I think, I don't know how, when he, Ajahn Jayasaro started, but when he was doing this, he determined not lie down until Rinpoche passed away. So he was actually, when I was at Padmanachad, he was a vice abbot, but he was a really practicing hard, but also preparing the book. And also, because he was having a contact with Rinpoche's teaching, and he had his own contact, of course, but also he was gathering various teachings and experiences. And so he was also quite inspired then. And then he would share those aspects of Rinpoche's teaching and practice with us, junior monks then. So we were also kind of pushing ourselves, going together. That kind of momentum we were having. And then I remember the community was actually getting bigger and bigger. Also, many, many people were visiting Rinpoche, both monastics and laity, not only from Thailand, the president of Sri Lanka visited him also. Although Rinpoche was in that state, he wouldn't be able to say anything, of course, but still they came to pay a visit and respect to Rinpoche. It's not easy place. It's not nearby Bangkok. From the Bangkok, they have to travel another 500 kilometers to come to Ubon. So some of the teachers said, yes, some of the senior disciples said, yes, I knew Rinpoche was great, but the sense of respect and then how special Rinpoche was, that sense became even stronger after Rinpoche became so sick. But still people kept on coming. When I saw this, the respect, sense of wonder even became stronger. He said this to me. And Rinpo Riam, the abbot of Wat Pa Pon now, he was already acting abbot, but he was also very busy building a monastery, organizing a project. But also he had a very strong sense of responsibility. So he never left Wat Pa Pon. Of course, daytime when he had an invitation or something to do, he left the monastery. But he came back to the monastery because he knew if anything happens to Rinpoche, he had to be there. That's no, if he won't be there, no excuse. So he was holding the position of acting abbot there, was very honestly and sincerely, seriously. So something like this, in terms of materials, people's effort, devotions, and also the teaching itself, Rinpoche's books, both Thai and English, were coming. So lots of things were actively happening. And interesting, symbolically in the middle, Rinpoche was quietly lying down without saying anything. From what Pananach had, I think when I was a Samanera, a novice, Rinpoche's conditions got worse suddenly, so we thought maybe he would pass away soon. So Wat Panachat Sangha visited Rinpoche, and Wat Panachat and Wat Papon maybe 8 kilometers away, something like this. So every day we went to Rinpoche's kuti to offer the Paritta chanting. And then later on, as I explained at the beginning, we changed it to Vipassana Bhumi. So we started every day. And then Rinpoche's condition got stable again, so we decreased to just once a week, one per day, we went to Rinpoche's kuti to chant these verses. And actually, the chanting of Wat Panachat monks seemed good. When we chanted there, Thai monks, I noticed Thai monks are pleased and even impressed how we chanted. So they recorded our chanting. I still remember. And how we looked after, can I use the word looked after? How we offered to, actually we were given the opportunity to pay back to something to Rinpoche or to do something for his body. So to use the word, to look after somewhat, not exactly how I see it, but actually the opportunity was given to us. Yes, so we were with him 24 hours. The one team was 4 monks and 1 novice. So the 5 of us were at Rinpoche's kuti, and we had 2 teams, day shift and night shift. And every fortnight we changed whoever volunteered. I was just ordained. I was not really interested in doing this. I mean, you didn't have to at all. And some were keen, some were not much, and I wasn't so interested. I mean, I was serious about practice, no? And okay, I practice, and so this upatak to be with Rinpo offer something for him was not like a sitting meditation, but more you have to be attentive and then do various things. So but to me, I'm sitting and walking, and this is the thing we need to do. That kind of serious idea I had. So I didn't go until I really appreciate I had once I attended. That was after my second vasa. Was it the second? I think yes. Ajahn Koesako invited me to go to Tudon in Japan from Tokyo International Airport to Hiroshima, which is 1,000 kilometers, so about 600 miles, and it took 72 days. Anyway, so before we went, he advised me to do this. He said to me, yes, we can go now, but maybe you better to offer upatak to Lumpo once. Okay, I did. So that was, now I can reflect back. It was a very precious opportunity. This is only the time I had a really, literally physical contact, doing upatak. Actually, Ajahn Kohesako and I think Ajahn Nyanadamo, both of them were one of the most, who offered the upatak to Rumpo the most, more often than anybody else. And so what we would do was, what's called bed sore. To avoid the bed sore, we had to change his posture, either the lying down on the back, lying down on the side, one side, the other side, now and then, throughout day and night. And to hold his body in a certain position, we used that pillow, and his bed was like this, and then we, and then a metal, not metal, the bar, metal bar was around. So we put the pillow between the bar and then his body, so that his body was kept in a certain posture. So we changed the posture and put the pillow, and of course we offered. It's not the bathing, but we offered wiping his body, various care, offering a massage, and also the breathing was quite a problem. So often we tapped his chest, the lung area, just to helping get rid of any stuff in his chest. I hope you understand, something like this. And also, yeah, offering a food. Interestingly, 29th of March, 1987, 30th of March was my, that year, that was my big ordination day. Day before, actually his condition was getting worse again, and then they realized that airway was having a problem, so they decided to open the trachea here so that the air can go through. So that was the day before my ordination. So everybody was really alert. Maybe Rumpo would die. So everybody went to the Ubon Hospital, and including Ajahn Pasana, who was going to be a chanting monk for me. So my ordination was only the monks, and then only one lay person from Watthanachat. And Ajahn Pasana, after the ordination, he rushed back to the hospital. So something like this, the time I remember. Anyway, so we offered him a food, actually a kind of liquid food, which was prepared by Mechi Wat Papon through tube here. And twice a day or so, we put him on a wheelchair and then push him around the kuti so that devotees could see him. Something like this we were doing. So this was a very, now I can say, precious opportunity for me to have a physical, it was really physical contact. And one thing I remember, one occasion, as I said, when we changed his body from time to time, we have to we have to use this pillow, rectangular, kind of new Thai style pillows, not round but kind of square shape. And so when we change this, four monks are both sides, to both sides. And then so I was passing this pillow to the monk, the other side, passing. I was the Rumpo's, the head area, and then two others are feet area. Yes. So I was passing this pillow to the other monk, and then I passed this pillow through Rumpo's head. Do you understand? I am his right side, the other monk was left side, and I was passing the this pillow above the mat, Rumpo's face. Then the other side, actually that was Ajahn Suryon, the then active vice about the Wat Papa. He said, no, you shouldn't. Rumpo's face, then a pillow is going like this. No, it's not respectful. At the moment, I couldn't understand. And anyway, so I or somebody passed the pillow by maybe behind his head or somewhere more lower area. They understood because I'm a Japanese, and then maybe not really understand how to show the respect. So it's not like a scolding me, but just a very kind way he said, no, it's not right. It's not respectful. Actually, when we are doing, always we are handing anjali. Of course, at the beginning and often we bow to Rumpo. And often, I couldn't speak Thai much those days, but I understand the monks are saying, "Oh, Rumpo, may I offer this? Could I do this?" The kind of always as if Rumpo Cha was active, lively. So but this incident, it's a small thing, and it was all right to me. I understand myself. Yes, this is, I didn't know, and nothing so bad about it. But now I can recognize the way how relate to the person, teacher, teaching, or form. Maybe I can use the word, the state of mind was gross. Maybe my perception of the person is almost simply physical being or just a simply physical being, not relating to the person as a teacher or somebody to respect, also how to respect, that kind of things. Can I use the word sensitive? I don't know, but I can recognize that somewhat shows how I was then, or how I can be even now. I mean, those days, some of the monks said, yes, even Rumpoche couldn't say anything, couldn't move, do anything, but when they say something to Rumpoche, or they do something to Rumpoche, Rumpoche showed some response to them. They say, I didn't know, I didn't really believe, but maybe, may not be. Or sometimes we wanted to do anything for Rumpocha, so sometimes we invited a kind of person with psychic healing, and I don't know who it was, I don't remember, but that person said, when he tried some healing towards Rumpocha, Then he said, no, I can't do anything. He's doing perfect job already. So that kind of thing, which I couldn't, no clue to me. No? But I'm not saying this kind of invisible level of connection with Rinpoche, but more really straightforward level of as a human being, and also as maybe the person to follow the path which Rinpoche has been guiding, toss the pillow in that way. So this is when I was thinking, that's actually how I was. I mean, I can say this is just a convention or different perception, nothing much there. But to me, when I reflect about this, at least in my own life, this says something. I was gross. So this area of form or manner, maybe, like for Rinpoche's teaching and training, in my understanding, what's special about Rinpoche? Like now, 150 or even more branch monasteries in Thailand and then in all over the world, including here. And also, not just monks or nuns ordained, but lay people. We can say, we can see some teachers are good at developing ordained disciples. Some teachers are good at developing lay followers. But Rinpoche's one was actually both, which is actually very rare in my understanding. Also, sometimes after the teacher dies, often that lineage can fade away quite quickly. But Rinpoche's one was, is not the case. As we see, it is still developing and then spreading. So his teaching was, as you, each of us experience when we read the teaching or listen to the teaching, yes, very simple, straightforward, direct, and profound. But also, why his lineage or this lineage is like this? When I think of it, this community. So it's not teaching is yes teaching, but teaching as well as something I can call form or life or the community there. That's why it's been happening and it's still not growing, developing. So in a training, his case, he's not just teaching Dhamma, but Dhamma Vinaya, discipline. And the discipline, also this has somewhat area of how to relate to the actual situations. So among the forest tradition in Thailand, Ajahn Chah's one is actually in many ways active and integrated. So Dhamma Vinaya, so because of this discipline and form, it becomes more, to me, beautiful, graceful, and human. It's still being developing, and it managed to come even to here. My experience 6 years ago when I came to Chithurst, year 2000, I was very, very pleased, not pleased, actually very impressed how the community Sangha was here. When I came here the 6th of July, and then I think 11th of July, maybe, they had a Dhamma hall day. It was still foundation, just there about to build a wall like this, but they had a gathering, and then they were talking about the Dhamma hall day, and I am not really willing coming forward to talk anything, but they were inviting people to say something, and then having arrived in England after just 5 days, and then I'm a shy person, but I was almost stand up to say, you know, this is wonderful, amazing. I didn't do this, but such kind of a strong impression I got, how wonderful the community had been developing this place. And then the next year, I moved to this place, Amaravati, and then a World About Meeting happened. And Ajahn Wajiro was kind of actual coordinator, and I was invited to work with him. And when I was preparing retreat center or other places to receive various Ajahns from all over the world, the second time I was really pleased and impressed. There were Amaranato and Nyanadasano, Tanawaro, and some others. When I worked with these people, I could feel how easy and willing they are. This is the exact feeling I could feel when I was Wat Pa Pon in Thailand. This kind of sense of coming out, do anything if necessary. I use the word willingness. Some time ago when we had the Teras meeting, we talked about what's the quality we need for the newly ordained or the candidate for the ordained. I said, I expect people from the willingness. And then some said, willingness to what? I can't say what, but that kind of mental posture of willingness. Yes, I am available. Yes. So that kind of sense, attitude, presence, I clearly felt. And that was exactly I felt in Thailand, and yes, of course, we have the same standard of Vinaya and then very similar lifestyle, and the teaching is anyway there. But when I was connected with this willingness, oh yes, this is Wat Pa Pon. This is in my perception. What's special about Rinpoche is this, as a phenomena, the community is developing, and men, women, old, young, Westerner, Asians, Thais, ordained lay people, and so on. So all kinds of people can be contained in his teaching or in his way. And I use the word that his parami, I mean, which translated as a perfection, but to me the I can say accumulated goodness of certain person. And then Rinpoche has this special barami to embrace such wide range of human being. And we are here, and I am here. And because I am a Japanese, people very often ask me why I became a Theravada monk and not Zen monk, and kind of question. I really don't know what whatever the reason is. But the fact is that because it is a Rinpoche's lineage, it is a what Papon tradition, and then Thailand, and then this place, England, where my life has been transformed. It's of course it's still in the process, but when I left Japan, I can be a quite difficult person, person with problem and slow, stubborn. I can put lots of difficult words about me. But if I can appreciate anything about the life, then this, of course, I can extend this one back to my connection with my parents, and then people in Japan also, yes. But this happens because of the process of transformation which started in Thailand with this tradition, with this lineage. So this appreciation, gratitude. When I feel this, can I say this is to Rinpoche? But actually, I can't say whom. Rinpoche, of course, Rinpoche Medo, all the teachers I met, and I was under the guidance of in Thailand. All the people in Japan, in Thailand, and in this country, in England, in Atamaravati. So this, all of this in me, in my context of in my life, it comes like how I relate to Rinpoche. The more I can manage to appreciate the life, then the more my connection and appreciation with the Rinpoche and virtually everybody becomes stronger. I talked about the Rinpoche's way of teaching and training. His way is not just a Dhamma, but actually, as we describe Buddha's teaching, Dhamma Vinaya. So not just saying this is the truth, this is the way, this is the liberation, but actually he was able to share with us how the life, this form of the life. We can use the word Vinaya, not just simply Vinaya, but Dhamma, Vinaya, or form or tradition. It is a convention. But I think he knows, he knew that when we relate to this form or convention with our heart, from our being, it gives us a tremendous strength, which helps us, each of us, to transform and helps actually the others. This clear sense, understanding he had. Now I can see this. I mean, I am a Japanese, so when I came to Thailand, it's, of course, maybe Asians, it looks like a similar, but conventions, culture, not necessarily the same. So I had a struggle. I couldn't understand some of the things. I could miss some things. And I can be cynical. I can be judgmental. So it's not straightforward. And I'm sure to everybody, almost everybody, this issue of conventions, culture, can be a challenge. Why is this? Why is that? That's, we don't have to ignore. It is honest experience. And we don't have to pretend that we have to be, we have to appreciate the form, something not like this, but actually, when we come to really in the middle of this form, I really believe this gives us a power which beyond personal, as a monk, yes, this is a form of transcendence, going beyond the samsara. And yet in the middle, I am full of problem as a person. But the form holds me in a most skillful way, encouraging and giving me a strength. And this is not just form like this is, but actually connecting to the community, we living together. So the here for, I'm not saying to become the slave of the form or tradition in a rigid way, not at all. It is active engagement, it is a mature attitude. So for instance, here what is happening, is it the same as what's happening in Thailand? No, not at all. And yes, they might, some of the teachers might say, yes, this is not right, this is not correct. They might have different opinions. That's completely all right. But our trust, when I thought of, are we all right in doing this? Yes, they might have different opinions. They might criticize about certain things, but in a deeper level, we have, or they trust us, or we have mutual trust that the integrity and what we are doing is most valid now, that sense. If it's just simply the copying the things in a rigid way, I don't expect this community, this tradition to grow in that way. But actually the much deeper trust is here. So to me, as I said earlier, this is actually really the Wat Pabon tradition. And then I am proud of this place very much. I love this place, but also I am proud of this place, how we've been doing. This is really impressive. That's why if some people criticize this place, I am not, it's difficult for me to be quiet. But I, what I want to say is this form or tradition, or here I would use as community building, living together, going together, this sense, going together. This journey is not easy. Oh yes, Ajahn Koesako, when he came to Wat Phapon as a Samanera to become ordained as a bhikkhu under the guidance of Rinpoche, when Ajahn Koesako met Rinpoche for the first time, he expressed his wish, intention, and then Rinpoche said to Ajahn Koesako, Dambagna, it's not easy, it is difficult. And then Ajahn Koesako replied, my pain like up, that's fine, or I don't mind it. So this simple conversation, but this describes how our life is actually. Yes, it's not easy, because we have I have a lots of tendency, lots of memory, lots of past, and lots of things. But this big vehicle of Rinpoche's barami, or our beautiful, sincere intention to live, make best use of this life together. This is a beautiful place. So all of us have raka, dosa, moha, ditti, mana, this lust, hatred, delusion, ditti, opinion and views, mana, conceit. These are our condition that we have, and this is the cause of suffering. But this form or the community building, not form and community building, not exactly the same, but this life, and then this lineage, and this community is the container for each of us to go together this spiritual journey. And in the middle, in the very middle, really symbolically, Rinpoche is there. Quietly. So tonight, we hope we can offer the practice until midnight. We use the word Patibha Puja. I'm not sure, this is Thai pronunciation, I think. So the offering of our practice. I found this is quite beautiful attitude. Of course, the practice is for each of us to experience liberation. But sometimes it might start from the place of ego, desire, I want to. So we need to be careful. But this attitude of offering a practice. This is, it was difficult for me to have this sense, but if the practice or the life is something to offer, something to nourish, something to share the taste of life or practice, can have different dimension. And this night of practice, vigil, we do until midnight, and what Papon tradition is a, often we do a whole night, and I think in forest tradition, particularly Ajahn Chah's tradition, this sitta practice is his favorite practice or encouragement. As few nights ago, Ajahn Memaro said very well, this area of sleepiness, it comes from moha, but it's not just small issue as a sleepiness, but it has a huge root, and it's very tricky one. It's not easy one. That's why I think Rinpoche was quite constantly encouraging us to do. Otherwise, this one we can find very easily some excuse not to do. If we have a dosa or raka, greed or hatred, it is rather obvious, somewhat dangerous. We can't step back. But this delusion, the delusion, difficult to find what is wrong. It's like a sleepiness, comfortable, peaceful. What's wrong about it? But when we see what is liberation, what is awakened, then we start to see the importance, how to cope with this. And then the Rinpoche was, of course, wise enough to point us, guide us, this aspect. So I stop here, and we have 2 hours left, and Patibha, we'd like to offer this Patibha Puja to Rinpoche.